Did we lose everybody yet? Don't tell me we did.
You're kidding.
No. Can anybody hear us?
We're here.
Okay.
Dramatic pauses are not ideal tonight, guys.
Yeah. A main motion to adopt ordinance 20-31 is what I'm looking for.
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do I have a second?
Second.
And that's a second by
Henderson.
Ms. Henderson. Thank you, Ms. Henderson. Discussion as the maker of the motion, Ms. Leary, you'll have first debate.
I think I'll just yield to, let's see, Lori, or I guess our acting city manager Strickler introduced this last meeting. So I'm not sure who to yield to, but if Lori wants to describe this again, or our interim city manager. Thanks.
Ms. Strickler?
I think Pete is likely familiar with this as well, but just in summary for the council and the public, our brokerage company has brought to us a number of times over a number of years that the city clerk and the city manager do not need to be bonded in accordance with the statute that only as provided in AS 2019-2390, the finance director, which is identified as the treasurer and statute, needs to be bonded by the municipality. So over the course of many years, we have been paying for bonding for the city manager and the city clerk, and that is unnecessary as far as statute regulations. But also the purpose of the bonding is to provide a level of insurance to the municipality if an error is performed by the manager of the city clerk. And our broker explained that those insurances are already provided through other means of our insurance company. So that is already covered and that we don't need to have this extra expense the code modification would be necessary to eliminate that extra expense with insurance.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Further discussion? Lori, if this was a public hearing, did we have to open it up for public hearing?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to open it up for a public hearing of Ordinance 20-31. And are there any members of the public that would like to testify on Ordinance 20-31? Give it a second here. Hearing none, I will close this public hearing and move on to further discussion of the main motion to adopt Ordinance 20-31.
The motion was already made by Leary and
Henderson. Yes, ma'am. Well, I just said we're going to move on to further discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Further discussion? Hearing none, I would like a roll call vote, because this is an ordinance, of please indicate by saying aye in support of adopting Ordinance 20-31 and nay by not supporting it. The roll call, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councilmember Henderson.
Sorry, Lori, speak up just a little bit. We can barely hear you.
Sure. Councilmember Henderson.
Aye.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Hansen.
Yes.
Mayor Barr.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Now we can move on to new business, and we have moved item 2.1, item 2.2 to item 2.1 and removed it from the consent agenda, which is resolution 20-15, authorizing the disposal of one city water truck to Ute Illinarvia. Now this brought forth by City Manager Strickler. Before we move on, I do understand that Councilwoman DeWitt has a conflict.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Barr, for bringing that up. I just want to point out that I'm the chair of the Ute Illinarvia board, and I wanted to disclose that conflict. I don't have anything to gain from a transfer, but I did want to announce that and publicly state it.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. And let me just have a chance to read over the conflict of interest again.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, are we skipping 10.1 or are we going to go back to that?
Yeah, we're going to get to 10.1, but we moved 10.2 to 10.1 and vice versa.
I think that's when we thought that 10.1 was going to be the IM for the Halloween. Confusion in the adoption of the agenda, because the Halloween IM and YKHC participation was going to be the first item in our unfinished business.
I got it.
I moved it to some order of business through the motion. So yeah, I think it was my fault that it's versus the agenda.
No, I don't think there's any need for blame or responsibility. I think we just need to follow our agenda, and I apologize for that. So let's move back to item 10.1, which is the introduction of budget ordinance 20-12E, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 2021 budget overtime administration and finance support services from accounting firms STIF, Mats or Gravel, Furrows, Fleet Management, Software, Tablets, Connectivity, Litigation, Compensation, and that was brought forth by Interim City Manager Williams. And I've got notes everywhere on this, Lori. Did this pass on the consent agenda?
I too have notes. So my civic clerk isn't working and the phone isn't working. Nothing's working, and now I don't have my agenda. I'm very sorry.
I've got notes everywhere.
Thanks. So let me go back to what I do have here, Mr. Mayor. I apologize.
Thank you.
It was pulled.
Thank you, Ms. Larry.
Items 10.1, 2, and 4 were pulled from the consent.
Okay. 1, 2, and 4. Okay. Okay, so that was brought forth by Interim City Manager Williams, and this is an intro of budget ordinance. I would entertain a motion to introduce budget ordinance 20-12E as an echo.
This is Michelle. I'll move to introduce budget ordinance 20-12 letter E, amending the City of Bethel fiscal year 21 budget for the items described in the packet.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Can I have a second, please?
Second, this is Larry.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Discussion? If you would like to defer to the interim city manager, Ms. DeWitt?
Sure. The reason I pulled this from the consent agenda was specifically just to have our interim city manager, Pete Williams, discuss why the additional match was requested, sort of what drove that to the STIP project, which is the roads project. And then maybe for in part for me to understand better, but also for the public to understand better, the ask for additional funds for the software that's proposed for the Hall Utilities Division. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Mr. Williams.
Speaking to the STIP match, so this is actually the first time we discussed this was a year and a half ago. I was still city manager, and at the time, we come up with a cost that was the best estimate that we could come up with it at that time. And then as they further developed this project, this is what they figured our match or what it would cost to do this, and hence our match increased. In your package, I think it's like on page 122 or something like that, there is a map of this project. I didn't get it in behind this one. I should have caught it quick enough. But so it's a fair-sized project, and that's why the increase for the match.
I'm reading it, Keith, and it says, upon approval of the contract, city is obligated to contribute $115,000 plus, and then as state of Alaska DOT informed the city of the project, we have an evaluation fund, an increase of $160,000 compared to the previous $175,000, and then Public Works is requesting, so it's the two amounts that are added together.
Right.
Okay, so requesting be allocated to the streets and roads capital expenditure, match for gravel for roads line item. So we had initially approved in the budget process $500K, and the proposed amendment is $335. Is that what I'm kind of reading?
That's the proposed total appropriation is $675, so.
You're gonna have to probably talk louder. The microphones we're not gonna use. We're just gonna use this phone right here to provide the feedback. I'm sorry.
As you were saying, the proposed total appropriation is $675, but we had already approved $500K, right?
I wasn't here.
Yeah, Paul, you weren't here.
But hold on.
I guess that's where I'm a little confused.
Well, that's one of our, in this budget, they didn't move that capital money forward. So that's one of the issues that we've got here is, that's why I'm kind of in the dark on what was done at the budget time. So, but I do remember that, I do remember the 115, and I think it seems like when I left, we were at 175, and then the approved appropriation would have been at the appropriation, would have been at the budget time, and we need the X amount here to get to 675, which would be 9% of the project, 9.3% of the project would be the 675,000. And then, the real reason it grew, if you look at the three maps behind my manager's reports, they added some drainage culverts. They have to go by safe streets here that we have in our code in Title 17. So there'll be, they have to provide for walkways along the road, drainage, and by the time they get this done right, it added up to some money.
So my understanding is that we had already, through our budget process, approved 500K. The proposed amendment is 335, which the total amount should be 875 or 835.004 instead of 675. I mean, 500 plus 335 is 835. But we go to the end number and it says proposed total appropriations of 675. Or am I reading that wrong?
No, I would just keep it to 675. I think that that's probably the right number. I don't have to calculate here. Get that working.
Well, so
have we allocated 500K already on our budget?
No. Well,
it doesn't show if it
did. Doesn't show in the budget that there's an allocation of 500,000.
Right. Doesn't show anything.
Not for the stiff match under 1066. No, there's nothing listed. Let me see what was in the budget last year and see if the project fund should. Under 1066, 694, sit match or gravel for roads in FY20, we allocated $500,000 to determine what our current appropriations are for that. We're going to need to look at our line item details to see if that fund was spent down for gravel in last fiscal year. Or if it was remained untouched. So that's something that I think administration would be able to look at and provide confirmation to the council during the public hearing portion at our next meeting.
So what would you recommend, that we table this or?
No, I think that we could just direct administration to take a look at this E3 item and provide a suggested amendment if one needs to be made based off of the appropriations and expenditures from last fiscal year for the project fund.
It sounds like a fair direction. Ms. DeWitt and Ms. Leary, do you have any other comments? I kind of took over the conversation. I apologize.
This is DeWitt. I think that the action suggested is a reasonable action. I guess I'm just trying to make sure that in the appropriation of these funds, I sort of have a, what I'm looking for is a context about what's been done in the past on this project, what we've approved, why we need the extra funding, and sort of where we're headed here, because it has been a topic that's come before us before. So, I guess looking for the historical context of this project. But I think the resolution is fine with me.
Go ahead, Pete. Well, I was just going to say, you know, when we first started this, what we did is we went to, we went with Dow and the Public Works Director, and we took a look at what we wanted done, and we came up with a cost estimate, not the DOT, and because we kind of always try to do something on our own to start the project off with. Then we forwarded that to the DOT, and they came back with this quick and dirty $175,004. And then when they sat down with the design and started to really lay it out, and then by that time I wasn't here anymore, but by the time they really started to lay the project out, I would imagine they would have looked at Title 17 and found that we needed walk space, or not really sidewalks, but there has to be room for pedestrians on either side of the road, signs, drainage, and that's when the cost really escalated.
Okay, thank you. That this is DeWitt, and that helps me understand the where we were, where we're at now, where we're headed. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Ms. Leary?
I am also good with that. I was just hoping we could, Michelle brought this up already, but I was going to pull this for the same reason. If we could just hear more about the $100,000 budget mod for Public Works Department, hauled water, hauled sewer, fleet management software, tablets connectivity.
Sure. So we've been looking at this for quite a while, at least we've batted this back and forth. So the idea is that the drivers would be able to use a tablet to in the trucks basically for creating a route, a more efficient route. The dispatcher would be able to see where everybody's at. And so there's just a lot of pluses. When I first looked at this a long time ago, the other goal was that if we got sophisticated enough with these, the software that we buy now will kind of determine what we can do down the road. But the other goal here was that we found some meters for the trucks. They were what they called Magna meters, and they work a little different than the meters that you normally see on a truck. But they also would tie into the hardware, and theoretically, I'll believe it when I see it, but theoretically, you could actually deliver water and it would go back to the station house or what have you, and they'd know how much you delivered on the spot. So everything is kind of electronic, you generate the bill. It could go that far. So I'm not saying it will, but this is the first step, is getting the tablets, and the main goal here right now is to be able to provide for some more efficient routes. And that's where I was at when we were at last time with this, and I imagine this board is still the same.
Yeah, thank you. We had talked about this, I believe, a little bit at a Public Works Committee over time as well. And so I'm really excited to see what we can do with this. So thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor.
What's your name again? You haven't spoken all night.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Great. Yeah. you know, not having seen a lot of details on what this software package included, I think the overriding concern among hauled water utility customers that we have heard for years is having meters on the truck so that we pay for the water that we get. I mean, I need to change my delivery because, you know, I'm using about 500 gallons a week, but I get billed for $1,000 delivery. I would much rather, instead of having to go in and change my schedule, I'd rather be meter delivery. Everybody in the interior that sells water does it on meters. Fuel trucks have meters. I think we're about the only place that you know hasn't been able to come up with a meter program. Metering deliveries and billing based on the metering to me is more important than, you know, having an algorithm to design a more effective route. You don't need to be tracking the trucks. You need to go and spend a little money on just that, on an algorithm that can use, you know, Google Maps and can track where all the customers are. And in about 20 minutes, you're going to have route sheets that are very efficient. You don't have to, you know, be following the trucks around with the GPS, but I'll support this. And I hope that it means in, you know, and I think, you know, we've talked about this in years past about, you know, how to do that kind of a program. So I hope that it means in fairly short order that we will be able to start getting billed for what we're using. And as far as efficiency of the trucks, that really is, you know, it really is the way to do it. You know, you're going to actually get more deliveries out of one truck coming out to Kasaili, some of the distant locations, if you're billing by meter, because the customers are going to be a little bit more conservative, maybe in their water use, because they know they're hopefully only going to get, you know, 500 gallons or 300 gallons or whatever. So thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mrs. Springer. Hey, Pete, just a question for me. Does this haul water sewer, is that for every truck that we have in both divisions?
I'm assuming so, yes. I would imagine.
Okay.
I mean, it'd be for, you know, the both trucks for keeping track of all the trucks, and the meters would just go on the water trucks.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, can I say one more thing?
Yes, Ms. Leary.
I just kind of in response to Mr. Springer's comment, I know Mr. Williams just spoke about, you know, making more efficient routes, but even beyond that, one of the issues that we have seen come up is that when people don't get water delivered or sewer hauled and they don't know if the truck has been there and they, you know, they don't have any way to see inside their tank or whatever, but this would just provide some kind of accountability to there. There's been a lot of times where, you know, the driver will say, no, I went to that house. And then the foreman ends up, like, you know, trying to argue with customers about whether or not water was delivered at the house. And, you know, cause it was like checked off on their sheet. And, but then the customer checks their water tank and there's nothing in it. And it's like, who's wrong? Nobody. But I just think this will be really great for, you know, and even they can, besides the accountability of, you know, the truck was at my house at whatever time today, you know, we've got it electronically captured on our program. But also, if you can see where trucks are at, I think that might help too when, I don't know, there's a, you know, someone calls in and needs an extra fill or whatever, that they can see where people are at with what they're doing or where they're at and how far they are on their route sheet or their route that they're going down. You know, if, oh, this driver's almost done, I can divert them over to here. Or I just think there's a lot of capabilities with this that this community will really benefit from. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Further comments? we are going to go on with the introduction of Budget Ordinance 20-12E as an echo. And this is just an introduction to budget the budget ordinance, so we will not be doing a roll call. We will otherwise be doing a vote. So all those in favor of the introduction of Budget Ordinance 20-E, indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Item 10.2, again, is we're going to provide further discussion to Resolution 20-15, authorizing the disposal of one water truck to Ute Litnarviat. And that was brought forth by Acting City Manager Strickler. And again, this was pulled from the consent agenda, and there's an indication that Ms. DeWitt had a conflict. And I was reading through some of the Lori, do we have to reintroduce that resolution?
I do not have a motion on this resolution. I don't have a motion being made on this resolution yet. So once we identify Council Member DeWitt's conflict, we will need to have him and make a motion to adopt the resolution.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Strickler. So as I said before, there is a recognized conflict by Ms. DeWitt, who sits on the board of Ute Litnarviat. And I was reading through some of the financial interest items on the conflict recognition. Financial interest of a person includes the financial interest of any member of the person's household. Person has a financial interest in an organization if the person has an ownership interest is a director, officer, employee of the organization. So I'm going to find that there is a conflict by Ms. DeWitt to have any discussion on this resolution 20-15. So,
yeah, Mr. Mayor,
Mr. Springer.
Yeah, I'm on the board of directors of Ute Litnarviat in my role as executive director at ONC. So with what you read saying being a director, I'll go with that. So I guess I'll declare a conflict of interest also.
Thank you for bringing that forward, Mr. Springer. I'm also going to rule that you are in conflict of this resolution 20-15. So with that, Lori, do we mute them or do we allow them to move forward and just listen in on this, and they can't vote on this?
Right, yeah, they would just miss.
Okay, wonderful. So authorizing the disposal of one water truck to Ute Litnarviat, and I would entertain a motion to accept resolution 20-15 by the remainder of the council.
I move to accept resolution 20-15.
I'll second
that. Thank you, Ms. Clark. And was that Ms. Hansen or CC?
I mean, Hansen for sure said it. I don't know if Franco said it.
Okay. If you can state your name when you make these motions, I would greatly appreciate it. It's hard for me to recognize voices when your names don't pop up on the screen, on the Zoom screen. Thank you. So thank you, Ms. Hansen. Discussion?
This is Alyssa. Just reading, what's provided in our packet here, the executive director of Ute, Litnarviat, submitted a letter to the city of Bethel, just a short memo, saying that this will give the CDL students an opportunity to see what it's like to drive the city of Bethel water trucks. And I think we all know that drivers for such trucks are always in, we always need drivers. So I'm excited to see that this is what they're using it for or intending to use it for. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Further discussion? Hearing none, for the remainder of the council wishing to adopt Resolution 20-15, authorizing the disposal of one water truck to use at Narviat, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
By those members present, motion carries unanimously. Thank you, everybody. So we'll move on to item 10.3, which is Action Memorandum 20-49, authorizing the city manager to negotiate and execute a contract with Company A to conduct a classification and compensation study for the city of Bethel. And that passed on the consent agenda. 10.4, Action Memorandum 20-50, allowing the city manager to negotiate and execute a purchase agreement with Yukon Equipment Incorporation for an all-in-one heat-powered lighting plant on a trailer. And of course, this was brought forth by City Manager Williams. And from my notes, this was taken out of consent agenda. So I would entertain a main motion to adopt Action Memorandum 20-50.
So moved. This is Councillor Larry.
Thank you, Ms. Larry. Can I have a second?
Oh, my second.
I'm sorry, you were breaking up.
This is Henderson. I second.
Thank you, Ms. Henderson. Discussion. This was brought forth by Interim City Manager Williams. Would you defer to Interim City Manager Williams, Ms. Larry?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Williams, if you can provide a little light on this. No pun intended.
So this piece of equipment, this came about when the pool went dark and there are some bad happenings there. The idea of this is that it's a generator, has a heater, has some lights on it. And if we have a building that goes dead, it's basically what I would call an emergency generator. I haven't really, I guess it's got lights and a heater on it, which I really haven't seen, but so that's basically what it's for, that it'll power up a building when ABIC or whoever, we don't have power for whatever reason, for a length of time. And that's really what it is in a nutshell.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. I was reading the action memorandum, and this was brought forth by Bill Arnold over at Public Works. And it went to RFP, and we had three bids. I don't see any reason why we should not be requesting a all-in-one heat power lighting plant on a trailer. Do we have an old one? No, what we use
right now is we've got light plants that have gen sets in them, but they don't really power up all of it. They'll do a little, you know, do a little bit, but for like what happened at the pool, or maybe what would maybe could happen in a bigger building, Public Works Building is another one. If we lost all the power there for a amount of time, we really have no way to keep those buildings warm enough to keep the pipes from freezing. That's the big issue, is to keep the pipes from freezing. And then, of course, having some lights just a plus. And then the generator part's nice because now you can plug in other tools and whatever you may need. Well, that's another problem you'd have, but I imagine they had up at the pool. I can't imagine what they went through up there. I guess I can imagine it all right. But anyhow, you can imagine being dark, no heat, and you go up there to try to fix up and get no power for your tools. I mean, some tools have batteries. So anyways, hopefully this will The police station would be another one, and that that's kind of a big building. If they lost power up here for any amount of time, we certainly want some way to heat it up. So,
yeah. Even this building.
Yeah, this building too. But normally what we got now are what they call Herman Nelson heaters. They burn on diesel. They're not really recommended for inside. They do have some that now I guess you can use inside, but when they first came out, up to 4 years ago, they leave a terrible exhaust inside of a building, so they're kind of impractical. You got to leave a door open, which defeats the purpose. Anyways.
I guess one other question that I would have is there, one of the things that I know about electricity is if you don't have a meter box that has that capability to go from, let's say, AVAC power to a generator, do we have those capabilities in our buildings?
No, Martha, we must, because we've got a generator out here that turns on when the power goes up quick. And then at the public works building, they got a generator too that can do the same thing. So, but like at the port office, that's what I think you're talking about, where you can bring a generator alongside the building and switch it off to the outside generator. I know, but these other two buildings are more or less set up that way automatically. I mean, there's generators already on. And the police department has a generator that's an emergency generator too. The one at the public works building is not in good shape. I wouldn't even say if it's working or not. So we got some real problems up there as far as that regulator.
I guess maybe if we can direct administration to maybe check on that, because I guess the one thing that I don't want to see is I don't want to piecemeal something and do a budget mod. You know, I'd like to say, okay, this is the total package of this expenditure and what the end result is going to be.
Okay. It's a good idea.
Ms. Henderson, as the maker or the second to this motion, you have second debate if you so wish.
Sorry about that, Mayor. I locked myself out of my computer. no, I don't have any comments at this time.
Thank you. Any other council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting action memorandum 20-50, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. We're going on over to item 10.5, which is action memorandum 20-51. Accepting the resignation of Councilmember Susie Franco effective October 31 and confirming the process for the Council's consideration of qualified candidates to fill the vacancy. And this was brought forth by myself after receiving a notification of a resignation by Councilmember Franco. And I would entertain a main motion to adopt Action Memorandum 20-51.
This is Henderson.
I'd move to. Oh.
I'm sorry. First was Henderson, and next, second was Leary.
Sure.
Thank you. Discussion. I was kind of hoping that we wouldn't pass this, so CC would be forced to stay on the council. But I guess it doesn't work that way. We have until the end of the month. I don't think we want to say our goodbyes too fast. CC, you've been a very valuable member of the council, and this just kind of gives us a way as to providing with some direction as to how we're going to fill your vacancy before the end of the month. So,
yeah, there, Barr, if I need to comment.
Sure.
Yeah, so I guess we don't need to say goodbye right now, but it has been great serving with everyone. I do apologize for this not being the most convenient timing, as there was just an election, but this opportunity kind of arose, and I will be moving to Kodiak. Definitely didn't plan on this, but also wasn't expecting like a pandemic, and you know, it's been a crazy year, but I trust you all will make the right choice in finding a replacement for me. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. And so this would direct the city clerk's office to post a notice of vacancy to the public city council on October the 20th, which we know that Ms. Strickland will do. They need to require any interested parties to submit their statement of interest to the city clerk's office by 4 p.m. November the 4th. Following the 4 p.m. deadline, the city clerk's office will email the council the statements of interest received and will begin the process of determining eligibility of office for the candidates. And we should confirm the candidate's qualification by the close of business on November 5. At the regular city council meeting on November 10, qualified candidates will be asked to participate in a brief interview by the full council in open session. Each council member will be invited to ask two questions for each qualified candidate. So, and the term of the selected candidate will expire on October the 5th of 2021. So that is basically outlining our process to fill the vacancy that will be left by Ms. Franco. So if there are any interested parties out there, you need to submit your statement of interest to the city clerk's office by 4 p.m. November the 4th of 2020. So November the 4th, 2020 by 4 p.m. The information will be in the council packet, and that could be found again on the City of Bethel's website of tonight's meeting packet. And Lori, is this going to be posted around town?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, so we do the bulletin board posting as well as social media and on the city's website as well.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting action memorandum 20-51 indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. All opposed, say nay. Motion carries unanimously. We're moving on to action for item 10.6, information memorandum 20-15, presentation of the city water and sewer services expenditures compared to budget from July 1, 2020 to September 30th, 2020. Utility maintenance, water and wastewater activity report. This was introduced by City Manager Williams, interim city manager. And this passed on the consent agenda. Item 10.7 was initially referred to the last item of agenda, item number 8. Item 10.8, personal leave request by the city attorney, October 30th, 2020. This was brought forth by myself, and this passed on the consent agenda. Happy Halloween, Libby.
Thank you. I'm going to be attending an academic conference that day, so. That's why I'm asked for the day off. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ms. Bacalar. And we're up to item 11, reports. The mayor's report. I don't have anything to report. Item 11.2 is the city manager's report, which is also found online if the members of the public would like to follow. And if we can possibly get the interim city manager to maybe just get a couple highlights from your report?
Well, I am really concerned about the COVID-19, the situation with all the departments. And I've talked to the department heads in each department and kind of looked around. I'm really kind of worried about, you all have been in this a long time. I just stepped in the middle of it. And what I kind of see now is it's going to be kind of hard to keep up the good work that's been done. People kind of getting tired of it, sliding back. So I'm keeping an eye up on that. This week, we just started to pass out posters to the restaurants, the incentive program. So we're kind of ramping up the public side of it, too. And today, we were debating on whether to, we've got the $1,000 tag up there for the raffle out at the airport, where we're thinking of also passing out the $25 meal tickets too. So anyways, that's kind of how that's been working. That they're doing well, I think, on the incentive program at the airport. Also, what she's doubled down on that, and she's passing out food, masks, hand sanitizer, whoever the organizations that need it, especially the nonprofits. The Carmen and Jackson, it's in finance, the Carmen Jackson LLC, the first of their personnel arrived a week ago. The finance department.